Great, thank you. Good afternoon, and thank you folks for sticking around. I'm handed out the handout because I'm a little old school with that. I know you all have access to it, and certainly my contact information is on it, as well as a slide. I'd love to talk to you afterward if you have any questions or requests or needs. So I'm Derek Smith. As was stated, I'm from San Mateo County. I'm a health department just south of San Francisco. First, I'd like to just acknowledge some of our funding comes from the state of California, which has been very supportive of the kind of work we do, which is research-based as well as policy. Really, policy is the goal of everything we do to try to make a healthier community, and as well as my colleagues, folks that are here as well. We have an intern, Kimmy Puccetti, who also helped me, who's here, a Berkeley MPH student who helped lay some of the groundwork for this work. So today, what I'm going to be talking about is data collection around us kicking off our smoke-free housing campaign in San Mateo County. Obviously, no disclosures to make at all. So first, kind of a survey overview to let you know what we did. I guess I'd like to start with what we are. Is essentially, we're a county health department, but we work collaboratively with a local coalition that kind of leads and guides our priorities on tobacco control issues. One of the main priorities that they've come up with recently is smoke-free housing. It's kind of the next frontier. We've done a ton of stuff on youth access to tobacco. We've had a lot of policy work on that, as well as working with high-risk communities. We have a large Tongan community, certain Asian communities that we've tried to work on disparities around tobacco use. Lots of smoke-free policies, parks and beaches and that sort of thing. And this sort of seemed like a natural progression for us, so it's the reason that we're doing the work that we're doing now. So our coalition really wanted to initiate a well-planned community response for a smoke-free housing campaign, and so we decided that we'd do that very much with data, I mean a data-driven campaign. So we developed a 15-item survey for landlords to assess, really to look at the landlord's current policies around smoking in their buildings, kind of their practices, like how they implement those policies if they have them, as well as their opinions of smoke-free housing positive. Housing policies, including their perceptions of benefits and barriers, and I'll talk about that a bit. So I'm really happy to share these. If you want to see my survey tool, let me know afterward. And additionally, yesterday I did a poster that specifically focused on the landlord's perceived benefits and barriers. So today I'm going to be talking about some other stuff, not so much how high they rank different barriers and benefits to going smoke-free. So that's available to you if you'd like it. Additionally, so our process is we mailed 1,000 surveys. We kind of did this random sampling sort of, but we also kind of weighted it based on the cities that had the most properties, the cities that had the biggest properties, all kinds of kind of complicated elements. But we sent out 1,000, and we actually got 256 returned, which we were very happy about. So let's talk first about, is this moving? So their current smoking policy. So 248 different landlords responded to me with their survey and told me what kind of policy they currently had. So as you see on my strange monochromatic presentation here, sorry, I should be more colorful than this, many, many property owners in total, I think that's 55%, have an indoor smoking policy of some sort. So they already had it, which is much higher than we would have anticipated. So it's sort of good news. They have some kind of policy. It could be a very weak policy, but they have something, or at least they state. Obviously, this could be self-selecting. It's not a totally random sample. There's kind of selection bias, the people who did return the survey to us or not. But there's a lot to be said about this. It's kind of a starting off place. And so the way that we are, some of the implications, the ways that we're going to be moving forward with this is educating landlords, essentially saying, your fellow landlords are already doing this, and you do not want to be the last one left with every smoker in your building because everybody else wants smoke-free. So that's kind of one of the real policy and advocacy kind of arguments that we're already making messages. And additionally, we're trying to isolate those that have weaker, maybe just outdoor policies, so we can encourage them to make stronger policies, maybe to look at indoor, like going completely smoke-free, saying every unit is smoke-free, the hallways are smoke-free, the pool area outside is smoke-free, laundry rooms, the entire building and property is smoke-free. And then we've done some follow-up, so property owners who, based on the survey, said that they might be interested or kind of had some indications that they might want to look into a smoke-free policy. We have a couple contracting agencies that work with us that have actually called them on the telephone and said, hey, we've got your contact information. We want to know, do you need some support and some help to go smoke-free? So we really try to do a lot of follow-up, just so you know kind of practically how we're using this data. I don't want to just present to you data we have, but let you know how we're actually implementing something with it. So this is looking at the current indoor policy status in receipt of complaints. So a couple items on our survey were, have you ever received complaints about secondhand smoke in your property? Like one tenant saying, oh, there's all this smoke in the hallway or coming from another unit. And as you can see very clearly and statistically significantly, those landlords, this is the ones on the right, who have an indoor smoking policy. Wait a second. Make sure I get the right one. Yes, the ones on the right are much more likely to have received complaints. So our take home for this is that it could go in both directions. It's just an association. But our take home is that tenants need to speak up. And this is something we've been advocating with them for a long time. When they call my office and say, we have a problem with secondhand smoke, that's one of the items that we ask them first. Have you talked to your neighbor who's a smoker? Because you might be able to just resolve it in a neighborly way. And the second one, have you talked to the landlord? Because they can't read your mind. They have no idea what happens in your building after hours. So it seems to be the case that them speaking up is one of the things that kind of moves this policy along. The other thing being said, we have one city called Belmont that adopted a smoke-free policy citywide. Every unit is smoke-free. And so in that case, I think those property owners were forced to deal with this, or were forced to make it smoke-free, and because every city resident who rented knew that that building should be smoke-free, they would be the type to actually complain, essentially, because they knew that there was a city law, so there's a kind of a selection bias there. Okay, so next one, there's a lot more information about benefits and barriers that I can share with you, again, another presentation, but looking at the difference between property owners who had an indoor smoking policy and those who didn't state they had any indoor smoking policy. The ones with an indoor smoking policy are much, much, much less concerned about potential barriers to adoption. So they've already adopted a smoke-free policy, right? So it sort of seems just natural, a little bit like, no duh, if you look at the third one down, being unfair to smokers. One thing that we hear a lot is like, as if though there's this constitutional right to smoke. Clearly there isn't. We all know that as public health professionals. But property owners aren't health professionals, and they're not lawyers, and they might think it's a protected status like disability. So you see that kind of the light gray bar on the top, these are the people with no smoking policy, and only still about 60% of them said they were not at all concerned about being unfair to smokers. Whereas those with an indoor smoking policy, about 85%, almost 90% of those stated that they weren't. They didn't care about, there's no smokers' rights, and they knew it. So there's obviously those who have a smoking policy are very clearly less concerned about barriers to adopting a smoke-free policy, which is good. And then benefits. Now looking at benefits, again, this is separated. Yes, these are folks who have a current indoor smoking policy. They state that. And no are the people who do not have a current indoor smoking policy. So as you can see, there's a really big, this is a Likert scale, I should have told you that, but it's between like 1 and 5, 5 being a very high perceived benefit to going smoke-free. So some of the items are reducing cleanup costs, leading to lower insurance costs, cutting down on tenant complaints, reducing the chance of fire, reducing the health risks for tenants, and reducing potential legal problems. So Lois actually was mentioning a lot of these issues in her first presentation. These were the things we were asking landlords. Do you perceive these as benefits? Like, are these selling points? And the reason we're asking this is because I'm a health educator and I have to sell this to property owners afterwards. So we're collecting data about what they think are the biggest selling points so then we can make educational materials that are very much tailored to their concerns. So as you see, they're all statistically significant. The respondents really, those with an indoor smoking policy were very likely to rank the potential benefits to a policy higher because they've seen it. It's a tangible benefit. They've already adopted the policy. They know it's better for their cleanup costs. They know it cuts down on tenant complaints. They know that it reduces the health risk for tenants. They know all these things. One thing, just kind of a star, because I thought it was pretty interesting, even though it's kind of a part of my other presentation, is looking at this issue of reducing the health risk for tenants. I had a bias, actually, going in as a health person, and I really thought landlords only cared about the money. So our presumption was that, and it was, I was completely wrong, but our presumption was that cleaning costs, insurance costs, tenant complaints, those were the big drivers that would get property owners to adopt a smoke-free policy. That's why they do it. It's strictly a financial concern. And I was really surprised that one of the top concerns that they listed is that they care about their tenants, and they actually want it to be a healthy place to live. So it was very, very affirming to see that. And we had lots of people write in and said, I love my tenants. Like, I'd love to have them, you know, for 30 years living in the building. I think they're great. We were really happy. It might be something unique to our county. It's possible. We had lots of small property owners that obviously hand wrote the survey and responded. But that's really good. And that's the kind of thing I am going to be educating folks about as we continue to work with property owners. We will say, we know you care about your tenants, and our survey, you know, proves that, that that's one of the major concerns and reasons you would want to go smoke-free is because you, you know, you care about their health, and you wanna own a property that's a healthy place to live. So it's excellent. I mean, that's exactly, as a health educator, it's exactly the kind of thing that I want to hear, and I want to be able to share not just cost-benefit analysis, but, you know, that you're saving lives potentially. You're a big part of this community health kind of picture. Okay, so talking about some additional findings, really for me, these are kind of new points of education, ! These were things that per our data we learned, and I really didn't anticipate. One is that lots of respondents wrote in the other section, something I never would have thought of, because I don't manage a property. And they said, the landlords indicated that another major benefit is reducing tobacco litter. Lots and lots of landlords wrote in to us, in their handwriting, I hate picking up cigarette butts in front of my building, and that would be a real reason why I'd want to go smoke-free. So for us, we're developing educational materials, and that is one of the major things we're highlighting immediately. Would you like to cut down on cigarette butt litter? Would you like to stop bending over and, you know, picking up or sweeping all those cigarette butts in front of your building that make it look nasty and make it harder for you to rent out the facility? Well, go smoke free. It's perfectly legal, you know, and it's better for the health of your tenants. So now we have kind of a tailored package of messages. The other thing is that landlords ranked very low the potential benefit for reduced fire insurance premiums. So that's to say, Lois was mentioning this. The finding here is that landlords, I believe, do not know that they could get a reduction on their fire insurance premium. They just are not aware that that could happen. So we're going to be educating them about that. That's one of the big selling points, is talk to your insurance company. Say, hey, I'm thinking about going smoke-free. You're going to give me 5% off. Will you give me a discount for that? And use your buying power in that way, you know, to save yourself some money while you're doing the right thing for your tenants. So those are kind of some additional findings, which I'm pretty excited about. So applying the data, I think generally just saying that we anticipate developing kind of a stage of change educational materials. So for the whole spectrum of folks who don't have a policy, who have weaker policies, who haven't even thought about it, right? They're kind of pre-contemplative. You know, maybe a material will be called, what's the deal with smoke-free housing? So it's something very, very pre-contemplative, you know, no stress, no pressure, just so they can start thinking about it. And maybe something more along the lines of assessing the market for smoke-free. So people are starting to think about maybe the business advantage they might get by going smoke-free, attracting higher income tenants, attracting families, attracting people who'd like to live and might want to maintain the property better, which reduce the costs of upkeep for the landlord. And of course, developing something that says how to adopt a policy, like how exactly you do it, step by step, here you go. Many of these materials already exist between Maine. I don't know that Lois meant Michigan, which is my home state, but Jim Bergman out of the University of Michigan is basically the leader on smoke-free housing for public housing authorities, and he's bit by bit gone to all these tiny rural conservative towns that I grew up going around with 2,000 people in them and convinced them, there's like 100 in the state of Michigan that have become smoke-free housing authorities. We're working more with property owners, but just to throw it out there for you. So additionally, we're going to do education outreach that focuses on the highest ranked benefits and negating the top barriers. As I said, including litter prevention insurance savings very prominently. And really, again, focusing on this, I might have already said this, but I call it the last kid out of the pool sort of argument. It's like, you do not want to be the last kid out of the pool. And if you are, what I mean by that is if you were the very last landlord who has not gone smoke-free, you are going to have the most disgusting property ever because you will have every smoker living in your building. Somebody's got to be the last one, so you really don't want it to be you. And it's, you know, kind of a scare tactic, but I think they can get it and they can imagine. And I believe that's it. Do we have a moment for questions? No, should we run? Yeah, any questions then?